Thanks to the worship team, to Jack, to Denny, to Michelle. It's good to have Amy back up front this morning. And if you don't know Keith, this is Keith. Hi, Keith. Keith Reed with the beauty of the bass there. Isn't it great having him? So we're so thankful for the worship team, aren't we? And their ministry to us every week and for each of their participation. And Jim normally is here, is working today. Just so thankful for all those who participate in the ministry of worship to lead us into the presence of God through song. The children at this time, I believe, would be dismissed for children's church. And on this Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem, we want to look into that account this morning. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. There'll be another scripture passage that we'll look at in a few moments. But this morning, and then next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, just a short two-week series on the subject of eyes to recognize. And you'll see these couple words in this passage today. And also next week, as we would look into the scripture passage, there'll be this idea of eyes that are able to recognize Jesus and to be able to see him for who he really is. There was a study that was done bringing a group of radiologists together. And this group of radiologists was given a task to be able to look at a series of chest x-rays just as if they would be looking for one specific diagnosis, and that diagnosis was a diagnosis of lung cancer. And unknown to the radiologists that participated in this study, there was something that was unique about this. The researchers inserted into the x-rays a picture of something that no professional would actually expect to see. And it was the picture of a gorilla. Now, what was interesting about this gorilla was that it was not tiny. It was actually about 45 times the size of the average cancerous lung nodule. And in this, it was about the size of what would be a matchbook inserted into these x-ray pictures of a lung, about 45 times the size of a normal cancerous lung nodule. How many do you think spotted the gorilla? 83% did not. 17% noticed this gorilla 45 times the size of what they were normally looking for inserted into this. And what they recognized was by eye tracking in this study, almost all of them looked directly at the gorilla. Yet, they did not see it. Why? The researchers concluded that if you are not looking for something, you will not see it. And vice versa, if you are looking for something, sometimes you will see things that are not actually there if you are looking for them. So often, our eyes recognize what we want to see. We see things because we already came into it with a preconceived notion many times of what we were expecting to see. And so whether we actually see it or not, it may be there or it may not. Sometimes we may interpret something based upon what we were expecting to see, even if that is not in reality what's going on. Those researchers show that to us, that sometimes we may have eyes that do not recognize what actually is going on. It's possible for us, too, to do this in our own spiritual lives. It's what happened to the Israelites as they were looking to Jesus. They were expecting to see something. And because they were expecting to see something, they interpreted him through the eyes that they wanted to see him through. They had eyes, but their eyes did not recognize Jesus for who he truly was to them. See, as we would look into this passage this morning, I want to read it for us, and then we'll look through it this morning as we would look at this topic of eyes to recognize, but specifically to see Jesus as peace for us this day. The author, Luke, writes this in Luke 19, verse 28. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them, the Lord needs it. Just that simple. Just tell them the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, just as Jesus had foretold and predicted, they asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the phrase that they were told to say, which was, the Lord needs it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the owner of that colt, I would be like, and what does he need it for? And who exactly is the Lord? And why do you want this colt? Meanwhile, this owner just goes, pretty much we're not told that he puts up a fight in any way. He just takes it. They bring it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Pay attention to that. They praised God for all the miracles that they had seen. And they declared, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Peace. Peace from Jesus. Peace. How do we find this peace? How do we have eyes to recognize the peace of his presence? First, see peace not just in what Jesus does. And if you're filling in sermon notes there, I added one word there, and so you can add it into your sermon notes in the blank, and that's the word just. See peace not just in what Jesus does. For the people of God, Israel, they were living under the occupation of Rome. The Roman Empire had spread, and it had spread so much that it was now in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem. And they knew, as the people of God, that they had been promised that there would be a deliverer, a Messiah king who would come and who would set the people of God free, who would deliver them from the hands of their enemies. Their expectation at this point in the nation of Israel was that this deliverer, Messiah, king would be a military king who would rise up and would defeat Rome and would set the people free. What they did not understand at that time was that God's plan, first and foremost, was that his servant, his deliverer, his Messiah, would not be a victorious military leader now, but he would be a suffering servant first. One day this Messiah would return to be the military king, to set all things right. But these believers in Yahweh, the God of Israel, were expecting their eyes to see not one who would come to suffer as a deliverer Messiah, but they expected to see one who would ride in victory, who would overthrow Rome, and who would set Israel free back to be the nation of prominence that God had created them to be. And so they are coming together, and Jesus is doing what he has been doing for so much. He shows his power. He shows his glory in this demonstration by sending his disciples ahead. Go ahead, there's going to be this colt there. There's going to be this animal that has never been ridden before. And I want you to go untie it. And if the owner says, who needs it? Why are you doing this? Just tell him, what? The Lord needs it. And just as Jesus foretold, just as he prophesied, it went just as he said. They bring the animal back and put him on. And they bring him in, another display of his miraculous power, of his glory, of his ability to see into the future, of his ability to heal, of his ability to set people free, of his ability to do the miraculous. And as Jesus rides in to Jerusalem, in this account, it does not say about the palm branches being waved, but in the other Gospels, the palm branches are being waved, and they declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But the verse before that, verse 37, they began to joyfully praise God in loud voices. For what purpose? What does it say? For all the works, for all the miracles that they had seen. See, they had seen Jesus do the miraculous. They had seen Jesus demonstrate the glory and the power of God through his life. They had seen demons come and say, have mercy on us, Son of God. They had seen the lame walk. They had seen the blind see. They had seen the mute and the deaf hear and speak. They had seen thousands of people fed with loaves and fishes. They had seen the glory of God. And as Jesus came in, why did they praise him? Was it because of who he was or because of what he had done? See, all of those things that showed his power and glory and the glory of God were not bad things. And surely he should have been praised and glorified and exalted for what he had done. But when you come to someone for what they do, you will only be satisfied when they continue to do what they've done for you. And for the people of God, the Israelites, they were coming and glorifying and magnifying Jesus because they believed that just as he had done so many works and miracles and powerful displays of the glory of God, that he was about to do it again. And this was going to be his grandest one. He was going to set Israel free. Their eyes expected to see what they thought was going to happen. They expected to see the conquering king in eyes in full view of Rome stand and say, I am your deliverer. I am your king. Caesar will be no more. You will be free. This is what they were expecting. This is what they thought that they were looking for. Their eyes recognizing what they wanted to see. But Jesus' response, even as the Pharisees chided him and said, rebuke your disciples, he says, no, they have to praise me for what I've done. Because if they don't, the rocks will cry out. And so certainly it was not wrong of them to praise him for what he had done. And it is certainly not wrong for us to praise him for what he has done. But coming to the King Jesus, we come to find peace not just for what he does for us. Jesus' response to all of this is not to bring on the glory to himself. His response is not to pick up a sword or a spear and now lead the rebellion. His response is weeping. Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he doesn't give the brave heart rallying cry. He weeps. And he says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus weeps because they did not have eyes to see and recognize him for what he was coming to do. And instead of deliverance, he prophesies that the city would be overturned and overrun. And in AD 70, the Roman Empire would come and surround Jerusalem, besiege it, destroy it, even tearing down the temple of God. Instead of the people of God finding the deliverance and freedom, because they were expecting him to do that for them by overthrowing Rome, they would become the victims of Rome. They would be overrun instead of being the ones that overran. Because they did not have eyes to recognize. They were looking for peace. But they were looking for peace in what Jesus could do for them. They were looking for peace in what Jesus could do for them. Surely, Jesus had brought them peace. But the peace that he was bringing was not the temporary peace of healing of a disease or providing food for their bellies. He was looking to bring them lasting peace. He was looking, as we'll see in a moment, to be their peace. So often, this is what I do, and I believe it's what many of us together do. We come to Jesus to find peace as our King because of what he does for us. Lord Jesus, I'm not feeling so well today. My knee's not doing so good. Could you touch my body? Lord Jesus, we're in a tight spot financially. I'm not sure how we're going to make it to the end of the month. Lord Jesus, would you provide for us? Lord Jesus, this relationship's getting really sticky. Lord Jesus, would you work it out? Lord Jesus, I have no idea what direction to take. This decision before me is bigger than I can ever even begin to understand and know what to do. Lord Jesus, would you give me wisdom so that I would know what to do? Lord Jesus, my kids are in trouble. Lord Jesus, my grandkids are in trouble. Lord Jesus, can you help them? Lord Jesus, there are people who don't know you all around the world. There are people in Egypt who are suffering today. Lord Jesus, would you help them? Are any of those prayers, are any of those requests for what Jesus, we need Jesus to do, are any of those bad? No. He says, come to me. I already know what you're going to ask way before you come and ask it of me. Come. But often what we do is we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, this is what I am expecting you to do. You are my rescuer when my back is against the wall. You are my divine Mr. Fix-It. You are my divine one who takes me out of difficulty. Lord Jesus, come and fix my situation. How many of you have ever seen God move in answer to your prayers? Can we give him praise for that? Amen. How many of you stuck as close to him in that time of difficulty when you needed him to do something for him as after, same after it was done? The human condition is we come to him and when he meets our need, then we go off and we do our thing and we take control back. And when we find ourselves in need of help again, we come back to find help in our time of need. See, Jesus is our King who provides us peace, but he's our King who provides us peace not just in what he does, but he provides us for much, much more, for who he is. See, Jesus doesn't want us just to come to him and, like a divine vending machine, get him to do what we want him to do. Set me free. Help me out. Heal this. Fix that. Instead, Jesus wants to be not just the one who gives us peace. He wants to be the one who is peace. He wants to be with us. If you would turn in your Bibles back to Luke chapter 13. You're in Luke 19. Just go back a few verses, a few chapters to Luke chapter 13. This is backtracking a little bit in the chronology of what has happened in this account. And in Luke chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus is in Jerusalem. And just as he had sorrow for Israel in Luke 19, as he rides in, and they all declare him king, and they worship him, and they celebrate him for the things he had done, and he weeps over Israel because they did not recognize him for who he was. Jesus had sorrow for Jerusalem time before. He was interacting with the Pharisees. He's dealing with the reality of the ruler Herod. And he says in verses 34 and 35, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, and I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here is Jesus in his prior last visit to Jerusalem. And his message to the Israelites there in Jerusalem was, you didn't see, you didn't have eyes to recognize who God was sending you. Instead of receiving the prophets, instead of receiving me, you have done nothing but stone and kill them. How I have longed to gather you under my wings as a hen to her chicks, but you would not accept it. And he says this, "I'm going now. I'm leaving Jerusalem, and I will not be back until all of you are crying out, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What's he referring to? He's referring to this day that we are celebrating, what we call Palm Sunday, when he would ride in on the donkey with everyone declaring, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus had sorrow for Jerusalem then. And as he comes and rides in as the king, he weeps. Why does he weep? He weeps because of verse 34. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have often longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus is declaring to them, "I came not just to do things for you. I came not to fulfill your expectation. I came not to give you peace the way you wanted peace. I came to give you peace that my Father sent me to give you. And that is not situational fixing peace. That is a life of peace in relationship with me, redeemed to your God. See, Jesus was coming not just to fix things. Jesus was coming to be their everything. And Jesus came not just to fix our lives and give peace where there is difficulty in our situations. He came to be our life and our very peace in all moments, good and bad. It's a wonderful picture because what Jesus was saying was, I long to bring you under my wings, and I long to cover you, and I long to make things right between you and God. Ultimately, he's giving a picture forward of what he was going to do on the cross. I long for what I will do on the cross, hanging there, paying for your sin, for you to be included in that. I long for you to come to me and come under my blood. But even more, I long for you not just to come and have this relationship made right and peace to the difficult things brought. I long for you to stay under my wings, under my protective covering. I long for you to be in me and I in you. See, this is the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is that he is the vine and we are the branches. That we would not just come to him and plug in when we need peace, but that we would come to him and we would stay plugged into him and that we would always have peace. Not just that we would come to him so our sins could be forgiven and one day we'll go to heaven, but that one day we would come to him and we would have our sins forgiven and we would stay so abidingly close that it would just be a deeper walk with Jesus each day. That's what he came for. He came not just to give peace to our situations. Surely we praise him because he is the king who gives us peace in our circumstance, but he is the one who wants to give us peace in the depths of our soul, every day of every hour, when things are well and when they're not, and everywhere in between. Jesus said, I long to gather you under my wings as a hen to her chicks. But he wept because they were not willing. Let me ask you, are you willing? Are you willing that the King Jesus would not just be the King who gives you peace when you need it? Or are you willing for him to be your 24/7, 365 till the day you die and for all eternity peace? That's what Jesus came for, to be your all the time peace. Story is told of a woman who went to a farm. And as she went to this farm, she went into the barn where a mama hen had just had chicks. And they were all running around, and she was cackling and frustrated and trying to get them all to stay underneath because it was cold outside. And in the barn, she needed to protect her young. And this woman recounted how crazy this was, as she was trying to gather them all to herself and protect them and keep them warm and give them the life-giving protection that they needed in those very early vulnerable days. And she watched this and she recounted this. And she left for the night with her friend that she had gone to this farm. When they came back in the morning, this mother hen was not just exasperated trying to get them all together, but this mother hen was cackling in horror because as this woman looked, there were 8 dead, frozen chicks and 5 that were near to their mother. And this woman recounted in that moment that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 made sense. That Jesus wants to bring us close. But whether it was the curiosity of those young ones, whether it was I'm ready to fly the nest and get out on my own independence, whether it was the temptation of seeing what the lights were in the other parts of the barn, whatever it was, there was something that drew those 8 away from the life protection of their mother. and they paid the ultimate price. She said in that moment, Luke 13 made sense to me. That what Jesus is longing for is that we would stay under his protective cover. Because without him, we have no life. He is our life. See, in America, our king, we view as working for us. I elect you and you do what I want you to do. And if I'm not very happy with the way you do it, well, in 4 years, we're going to get a new one. Isn't that how we work? It's essentially our system. Where you provide for me. Kingship systems of Jesus' day were not that way. A king agreed to care for the people, but the people more agreed to surrender to him. See, the king was not the one who served the people. The people served the king. And because the people served the king provided for their needs. What the people of God wanted was someone who would do what they wanted him to do. Set them free. Jesus said, I want you to come to me. And as you come to me, I will give you what you need. I want you to come under my care, under my wings, under my life-giving protection. There you will find life. There, I will set you free. Brothers and sisters, let us not fail to have eyes to recognize Jesus for who he is. Not the one who serves us, but the glorious, majestic King who we surrender to and who in great love welcomes us and covers us and gives us peace and gives us his very life. Brothers and sisters, may we have eyes to recognize who Jesus really is. And may we see that peace is found in his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the King Jesus. Thank you for the one who lives and rules and reigns today. Thank you for the heart of our King, who desires like a hen covering the young. He desires to welcome us in, to be for us our very life, our very peace, our very hope, our very protection, that we would not look to him just for what he can do for us, but that we would look to him simply because he is worthy. He is life. He is peace. He is love. He is joy. He is hope. He is the majestic, beautiful one. So, Lord Jesus, we declare that you are the King. Lord, may we be willing this day to come under your care, to be as those chicks gathered together under your protective wings. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for continuing to stand for us. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our very lives being surrendered to you. Give us eyes to recognize you for who you really are, our King, our peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's your expectation of Jesus? What kind of king is he? Is he the one who exists to serve and to meet your need? Or is he the king that is worthy of our very lives, of coming under his life, coming under his feathers of love and care and protection and provision, trusting that out of his life, surrendered, our lives surrendered to him, that our every need will be met? If he's the king that serves you, let me encourage you to flip it around and in repentance come before him and say, here I am for you. I willingly come under your feathers of protection, your wings, and I find my life in you. And I want to stay close and come closer and closer to know you as my loving king. If you've got it the other way around, if you have seen it more like the Israelites were expecting to see it, let me encourage you to repent today of that, to find him to be the king the way he has determined to be king, of our lives coming to him. That is where we truly find peace. If there are some areas of prayer that you need and you want to just flip-flop that this morning, this altar is open. If you need someone to pray with you to walk you through that, we'd love to do that. Elders would be available, be folks available to pray for you. But let us come under his wings. That's what he longs to be for us. That's what he came to be. So may the Lord grant you willing hearts to come under his wings and his feathers of protection, to come under his life, for he is the worthy king who gave it all. He gave his very life so that we might have it. May we find our life in him. Go rejoicing in our king who gave his all. Go in his peace. Thank you.